was looking at that first lesson about the prophet Elijah and Elisha, since the gospel is not a little hard to explain to kids. So I looked at that lesson, and I said to my 11-year-old grandson, I said, what's a prophet? And he said to me, a person that God chooses to speak through. I said, okay, we're on a roll here. The kids know this. This is good. And then we were trying to think of a prophet that they could relate to, and we thought of, and this name should be familiar, Greta Thunberg. I think it's pronounced Thunberg. She's from Sweden. She's now 16 years old. When she was 15, she began sitting outside of the Swedish parliament on Fridays to bring notice to climate change. It's been in the news quite a bit. She's a young lady who has Asperger's. She's very, very bright. And she became very depressed by these pictures that were stuck in her head about starving polar bears and all that big, huge, I don't know how many miles it is, thing of plastic in the Pacific Ocean. And she felt stuck. She felt so depressed. She felt so upset by it. And then she decided that she really needed to do good in the world. And so she decided to use this as a motivating force instead of just being stuck. And she was inspired by the kids from Parkland who have spoken out against gun violence. And now Greta is quite well known. I think she's addressed the UN, in fact, if I'm not mistaken. But she's addressed some such body. And she's become a prophetic voice at the age of 15. So I think that's very inspiring for the rest of us. We don't have to be Elijah and go up to heaven in a chariot. We can speak out for what's important. And that ties in with our gospel, because if we're honest, our first reaction to the end part of our gospel reading today, you know, there are really three parts to that reading, and you can preach on any one of the three, but the end part is very challenging. So we would say, hey, wait a minute, hold on, Jesus, you're wrong. No, sometimes we have to take the time to bury our dead. And guess what? You're just going to have to wait for us. Sometimes it's important to say goodbye to those that we're leaving behind or those we've lost. Then we'll catch up with you. Sometimes we have things that need to be done before we can get on that discipleship bandwagon. We've been taught how important it is to grieve for those who we've lost. You know, especially for those to whom we're personally close, but also for those whom the world insists are not worthy to be part of God's kingdom. So sometimes, Jesus, we just need some time. That's a human reaction. But in our story, Jesus has become very aware of the urgency of time. He's headed to Jerusalem, his final moments on earth, and every moment counts. The words translated in our reading as when the days drew near for him to be taken up are better translated literally as the days were being fulfilled. So Jesus realized the momentum of the fulfillment of prophecy had accelerated. There wasn't time left to accomplish his mission here on earth. And this urgency is beyond just the personal situation that Jesus finds himself in at that very moment in time. It's about the urgency of God's favor. Commentator Caroline Lewis says, what if Jesus sees the importance of time, of a minute, of even a second, not just for the sake of the urgency of his ministry, the urgency of God's kingdom that he wants to bring to fulfillment? The urgency of making sure that all have the opportunity to know God's love. But also because he's human, and being human means every moment really does count. Every moment has to count, especially since God made that decision to become one of us in the person of Jesus. And so if we read it again, we can see that perhaps Jesus' call is not an insensitive kind of plea to abandon things that are important to us or the people who are important to us, what makes a difference for us. Jesus' call to let go is actually a promise, because it says God becoming human means that every moment in the life of a human being matters. And time makes a difference. Even seconds can sometimes make a difference. And not just for the sake of our service to God, but for the sake of being part of this kingdom that God imagines. Every moment matters because every single one of us, every single person in the world counts. Now, we understand that in emergencies, every moment counts. A few years ago, one of my former parishioners had a stroke. But her family called 911 immediately. They didn't delay. Instantly, an ambulance arrived right away to rush her to the closest hospital, which, of course, the trauma hospital is Nassau University Medical Center. And that made all the difference. You know, NUMC might not be a place that we always choose for elective medical care, but if you have an emergency, it's a premier trauma center. And if anybody can save you, they usually can. But time makes a difference. So even though she was tended to immediately, she had had surgery less than 14 days prior to her stroke. And so they were unable to give her TPA, which is the medication that helps to break up clots. Time is important with that treatment. It must be administered within 4.5 hours of experiencing a stroke in order to be effective. So we're able to thank God she was saved and some of her function returned. But if she had been able to have the TPA, she probably would have had a faster and certainly a more complete recovery. Time matters. Every moment counts. During World War II, there was a prisoner of war camp in northern Italy in the area known as the South Tyrol. The camp had formerly been a castle. One of the prisoners was a British soldier. He had been carefully plotting his escape during the whole time he was there. And now, this day, he was ready. He was going to make his attempt that night. But unbeknownst to the prisoners there, the Allied forces had landed in Italy and they were advancing on Rome. And the fascist forces, the Italian fascists, were giving up. It turns out that all during that day, guards had been very quietly leaving. They had been dressed in their civilian clothing, leaving their weapons behind so that they could avoid being captured. So the prisoners went to the large hall for their usual mail call. No one brought the mail. And suddenly there was a big commotion, and trucks had come into the camp with Allied prisoners of war who were high-ranking officers. And they were all herded inside and placed on this grand staircase of this castle, waiting for their quarters to be prepared. Well, the prisoners realized this was their chance. They could overcome the small contingent of German soldiers guarding the officers and the few remaining Italian prison guards. And very quietly, they gathered weapons that had been left behind by the guards and things like knives and cleavers from the kitchen. But they had to be patient. They had to wait for just the right second. Anyone who has served in the military understands this. 1 second too soon or 1 second too late, the guards would realize what was going on and it would all fail. And of course, the men were anxious. They wanted to move. They wanted to do this immediately. But discipline was maintained, and at just the right time, the order was given. They rushed the hall, and they overcame the guards and the commandant of the camp. So instead of a solitary breakout by one prisoner, the time was right for all the prisoners to now be free. They found help from the resistance forces from the South Tyrol, and eventually most of them reached the Allied forces. So instead of sitting and waiting to be liberated, within a matter of moments, they were free. And we all understand that such life or death situations, every moment counts. But maybe we're wondering, what does all this have to do with discipleship, with the importance that Jesus seems to display and the impatience that he certainly shows towards these people that he comes in contact with? You know, he's like, no, you can't bury your dead. You can't say goodbye. Sounds kind of cruel. But maybe the urgency of his situation has encouraged him to recognize that our human tendency is to put off those moments in time that might actually make a difference in our witness to God's promises. Perhaps Jesus sees we come set with a whole bunch of excuses to hold off on our commitment. I'm sure we've all done it. I know I have. Perhaps we're waiting for just that right moment because we want to make that experience of God perfect. in a way that it probably was never meant to be. So Jesus wants us to stop making excuses and start imagining these experiences that could be more spontaneous, to be willing to say, hey, let's do it and let's see what happens, rather than first we need to get it all figured out. So Jesus wants to know, do we understand the urgency of the need to share the good news about his life, death, and resurrection? And that leads to a whole series of questions for us. Are we sitting around waiting for God to do something? Or are we willing to commit ourselves to action? Are we waiting for someone else to speak on our behalf? On behalf of justice? To make a call for righteousness? Or can we recognize the urgency of the moment and go out and proclaim the hope of God's promises? Are we waiting for others to stand up for those whom the world rejects and reviles? Or are we going to seize the moment and insist that God's love is for all? Are we waiting for someone else to serve as advocates that God has called us to be? Or do we understand every moment counts? We need to tell the truth, even if it means taking a risk. So basically, in this gospel, Jesus is asking us how we measure our witness to the love of God. There are 525,600 minutes in each year of life. As 16-year-old Greta Thunberg knows, life can begin in one of those minutes, or it can be lost. And Jesus wants us to make every moment count. Jesus is telling us, each and every one of us counts. Every human life counts. And God is counting on us to spread that word. Amen.